Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And church, good morning to you once again. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me please to Jeremiah chapter 20. If you want to hold the Bible in your hands, the blue ones in front of you are the ones in English. If you have your phone, one of those fancy gadgets, you can look it up very quickly. Jeremiah, remember, if you're holding a Bible in your hands, do a Bible flop to the middle, to the Psalms. Hang a right, you'll see Isaiah, and then you will see Jeremiah chapter 20. We'll read verses 7 to 13. This is the word of God. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him, let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pause on this beautiful Sunday morning and lift up your name, the only name worthy to be praised, the name that right now is echoing around your throne room as angels sing to you. Thank you for the great privilege and honor of allowing us to join our voices to that choir. I pray that our voices would ring out in your throne room as well. And now, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, as we come before your word, I pray that you would humble us, that you would prepare us, that you would open our minds and open our hearts and open our souls, that we might receive what you have for us this morning. Father, we've come seeking your presence. Fill this place with your glory. We've come seeking your insight and wisdom. May the Holy Spirit speak to us. Father, we've come to see you. Fill this place. Fill this place that we might know that we have been in the presence of Almighty God. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, church, welcome back, and it's good to be with you. Even though it's a rainy day outside, it's not raining in here. And so we're glad that you're here with us this morning. And slowly, as we've said over the last couple of weeks, our church is slowly coming back together again, and we're so grateful for that. We welcome those who are watching us online. Thank you for joining us in that form. Well, today we take a peek at Jeremiah chapter 20 in a brief way, just to kind of set it up for you this way and to remind you. Last week we looked at chapter 18. Chapter 18 really talked about the sovereignty of God, how he is unchanging. Even though we looked at the potter, and there's this potter at the wheel, and he's shaping things, and he's kind of working, and the clay can't talk back to the potter. You know, this is part two of that. These three chapters, 18, 19, and 20, form a block inside of Jeremiah, and they're all meant to show you the sovereignty of God, both in the positive, the clay being shaped by the potter, and also sometimes when it gets tough in the negative, where you see Jeremiah suffering here. What's happened in between is very simple. Jeremiah walks away from the potter's house with a very simple and very basic message. Go to the temple, stand there in front of the crowds, in front of the priests, in front of the king who's nearby, take a pot. He was in the potter's house. He'd take a pot and shatter it and tell everyone that this is what God is going to do to Judah and to Jerusalem and to everything. As you can imagine, the message did not go over very well. And so in chapter 20, the security guard of the temple, he's had enough of Jeremiah because it's been years now. It's been years where it's Babylon and Babylon and Babylon and Babylon, and there is no Babylon, and nothing has happened. And you can see the lament here where Jeremiah is saying, I've been preaching violence and destruction. Where is it? You gave me this message. What happened to it? And so here you have Jeremiah who, again, temple guard had enough. They took him and they put him in stocks. I think we have a picture for you that we'll show you so you understand what they put him in. Because this has been around with humanity for a long time. They put him in that. They stick your head through that hole. They put your wrist through there. And then we're going to leave him there the whole night. But we can leave the picture up for a little bit, Frank. Thank you. Here's what happens, though, church. When you look at the verb in verses 1 through 6 that we didn't read, of what they're doing to him, there not only is he strapped in, neck through that hole, and you have your wrist through there, but they're twisting his body in different directions. So his neck can't go anywhere, his hands can't go anywhere, but they're twisting and pulling his body in different directions. This is what was being done to Jeremiah for preaching the word of God. And what you have here in these short 5 or 6 verses is what he is praying and what he is saying out loud by himself. They arrested him, of all places, in the temple. There was a room off on the side that they put prisoners in, and they were torturing him within being able to see, you know, the very throne room of God where God would meet his people. And so we jump in, and we'll just leave this picture up because I want you to understand that all this is happening while he is strapped in to this awful, awful machine. So the first point that I want to make to you this morning, I just entitled it, I Complain. Notice this, you deceived me, Lord, I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Now, that word can get you in trouble when you use it next to God's name. God, you deceived me. Well, God doesn't lie, so what is he really saying? Well, the word there, when you dig underneath, is the seduce word. In other words, it's the word used for when a man starts to kind of pay special attention to a girl, to a woman, because he wants to, let's put it in quotes, seduce her into marrying him. He's going to bring the flowers, he's going to buy the stuff, he's going to take her to the movies. That's what the word is there. And so what is Jeremiah saying? Is he complaining against God? Is he turning against him? No. What he is saying is, God, you came to me with a message. You came to me with a mission. You came to me with your truth. You approached me and you took me out of my insecurities. You took me out of my doubts. You took me out of my fears and my anxieties. You presented a case before me. You presented power before me in such a way that the only answer I could give you was yes, I'll do it. So when you see this word here, don't let it trick you or take you in the wrong direction. The translators have trouble with it, but the word is seducing, and God has, let's put it in quotes, seduced him in such a way that the only option he had was to give his life to God and to his mission. But now he's realizing that there is a cost associated with that. And now the reality of the price of truly following God, of truly living for God, is real because he is in that. Now, luckily, in our society, we will never find ourselves in that. However, we do find ourselves feeling this way sometimes. And so Jeremiah, picture this, is in a big kind of cement of clay room. Guard has left, locked the door. It is dark, and he is bound. And they've grabbed his legs or his upper torso, and they've twisted him in a different direction, and they've just left him there. And now there's a little bit of moonlight coming through the little slit at the top of the wall. And this is what he's facing. This is what preaching God's message, standing for God in Israel, in a nation who no longer wants to hear the name of God or worship God, this is what it's cost him. And so you could say, let's attach some of our language to it, that Jeremiah has hit rock bottom. This is as bad as it can get. He is paralyzed physically. He can't move. Twisted in a different direction. He feels alone. Where is God now? Where's my family now? His family turned against him. Don't forget, I told you 3 weeks ago, he came from a priestly family. Those priests no longer serve God. Family turned against him. Friends turned against him. He's alone and he's in pain. He feels abandoned. His message, this living out for God, seems to have gone nowhere. It seems to have done nothing. And now he sits there groaning and moaning, wrists are hurting, neck is hurting, body facing a different direction, and he's wondering to himself, what have I gotten myself into for following this God? What has this God done for me? Why has he brought me to this particular place? Have I cried wolf? Have I said Babylon too many times? Was it not true? Everything around me has collapsed. And so my question to you this morning is, have you been there? Have you shared this space with Jeremiah? Where things have gotten so bad, where things have gotten so complicated, where the situation in your life has spun so quickly out of your control that you feel like that, that you feel sometimes that you can't even catch your breath, that it's hard to breathe, it's hard to think, and everything is happening so quickly, and you're wondering, what on earth can I do? How do I respond to this? Because the situation is so fluid, and things keep, and people keep saying, and so-and-so happened, and so did, that you just can't keep up with the pace. And now you're gasping for air, and you feel that your life is twisted and contorted in a whole bunch of different ways that you had not planned on, that you never saw. But now it's happening. Why? Because you made a choice. Because you decided that you would live and you would walk for the Lord. And there is a price associated with that. Not that God wants to hurt. Not that God wants to cause pain. But when you start to walk for God in a world that does not walk for God, it's the same situation. Israel did not want to hear about God or his word. Our society, let's simplify even more. Our city does not want to hear God's word or walk with God's word. So there will be a price to pay. Now, don't miss this though, because look at the incredible raw emotion and raw intimacy that happens in the most painful of moments. When God sometimes allows us to go through these moments in our lives, through these awful, painful moments where we feel like we're choking, we're being twisted out of control, and it hurts and we can't stop it. We try what we use all of our resources, what mom taught me, what grandma said, what I learned in school, what I read here, what so-and-so said, the advice and so-and-so, and nothing is helping because I am still paralyzed and I am still stuck and I am still in pain. God sometimes isolates us, will lock us in a room with only the moonlight coming through the top of the wall so that in the loneliness we will learn to listen. So that in the loneliness we will learn. Remember what he did to Israel before these moments when he rescued Israel from Egypt, which would have been, and it was, a glorious, amazing, powerful moment. He takes them to the foot of Mount Sinai. They receive God's word. And then what does he do to them? He could have taken them straight to the promised land. It was only a couple of weeks away, walking nonstop. But what does he do? 40 years in the wilderness. He stuck them in there for 40 years. When Israel saw herself in the middle of a desert, she looked every single direction, and all she saw was sand and rocks. Nothing else. Completely isolated. Why did God do that? Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us to grow her character, to grow her obedience, that she might look to the Lord alone. And sometimes God will walk us through the darkest of valleys and through the darkest of moments to reset us again. Because sometimes as we walk with him for a while, we kind of lose our way. We wiggle here, we wiggle there, and we're still overall marching in his direction, but things need to be cleaned up. The potter is still working at the wheel. Remember the message from last week? We said this at the men's Bible study on Thursday. I'll just kind of throw this one little tidbit from that conversation to include it in here. Listen, church, so you won't get frustrated with God and so that things make sense to you. And I hope that this helps for those who are here, for those who are listening online. The wheel of the potter never stops spinning. Did you hear me? Because a lot of times we think that we arrive as clay in the potter's house. He begins to shape and mold, and then he makes a jar, he puts it on the shelf, and we're done. Let me translate that for you. Sometimes we think that our eyes are open to sin, God calls us home, we meet Jesus, we kind of connect in church, we connect in Bible study, we start to kind of, you know, read the scriptures and become more of a discipline, we start to worship and it becomes more of a part of our lives, but in our mind, it stops. Because we live in a society, we've all been trained. Let's just use a couple of examples. We study for a test, we take the test, we move on to other subject matter. We start a semester, we finish a semester, we move on to other matters. We get our first job, we learn some skills, what do? We quit that job for a better job. We move on to something else. In our society, we're used to building up and then stopping. We stop at something and we treat our walk with Christ the same way. But I'm here to tell you that the wheel of the potter never stops spinning. So when you find yourself in this kind of a situation, don't be shocked and don't be surprised. God is not trying to hurt you. God is not trying to inflict pain in your life. God is not trying to confuse or hurt or bring anxiety or bring pain. No, the potter is still working on you. The potter is not done with you yet. And he will continue molding you until the day that they put you 6 feet in the ground. It does not stop. So when you say yes to Jesus, you are committing to a lifelong process of being on this spinning wheel and the potter working on you. Remember what I said last week. Sometimes the potter will find a defect in the clay. What does he do? He'll break it down. He starts all over again. And sometimes it starts all over in places like that. Not a bad thing. But the potter reshaping, remolding, so that we would look more as his intention for our life, not our intention for our life. Let me finish this first point by saying this. I love how Jeremiah talks at the beginning of the passage. It's very honest. It's very raw. And that's the beautiful thing about Scripture. These great men and women, the Bible always shows us how frail they were, how worried they were, how nervous they were, how they felt that they were in a dead end. And it reveals it. It just says, here it is. Here's how he felt. Church, take your suffering, take this moment to the Lord. He will listen. He is at work. Take it to him in a raw way. Don't pray pretty prayers when you come to him like this. Tell him exactly how you feel. Tell him exactly what the pain is. Tell him exactly what the anxiety is. Tell him exactly what the nervousness is. Tell him exactly how it's falling apart. Tell him exactly how you're feeling. You're not going to intimidate him and you're not going to scare him. He's probably heard worse. But it's more for us to understand that we can speak to God plainly and openly when it hurts. When it really hurts. And when we have no answers. And when we feel trapped. And when we feel anxious. And when we feel alone. And when we feel that it's being destroyed and it's falling apart. Bring it to the Lord. Because you see it throughout Scripture. When Elijah was being pursued, he was alone in the desert. But what did the loneliness do? It made it quiet enough for him to hear God. Did God yell to Elijah, let me test your Bible knowledge? No, God did. What's the famous phrase? He whispered. Elijah was far enough alone and now in tune with God that he heard God whisper. When David is fleeing for his life, running through hills and caves and rocks because everyone's trying to kill him, he writes psalms. He prays and he tells God how alone he feels. And why have you abandoned me? But I know that you are my, I know you're fighting for me. The psalms come from those moments. Not when he's sitting on a throne, when he's alone hiding in a cave. What did Jonah do when he was in the belly of a whale? We share that with our children. But it really is a lesson for us. When we find ourselves locked in the belly of a whale, taking us to a place where we don't want to go, Jonah begins to reconnect with God again. Church, what did Jesus do before the cross? He went to the garden. He sweat blood. He spoke to God and he told his heavenly Father, if it is in your will, take this cup from me. Raw emotion, how I'm really feeling. And every single time, God responds. So if you've hit rock bottom, if you find yourself here, go to the Lord. But know this, in that loneliness and in that solitude, there is listening and there is learning to do.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.